T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, Marks and Reese, we are back. Hoping to talk to Jason Wirth coming up here. He's got to join the show on Charlie Manuel Appreciation Day. As, you know, Charlie certainly had an impact with a lot of those players on the team, Jason Wirth being one of them. So we'll talk to him about that and, you know, what's he doing these days and his memories of Philadelphia and the Phillies this year, man, because today is opening day for the Phillies. And the lineups are out. Roman Quinn's going to be starting in center field. But joining us right now is Jason Wirth, and Jack cooked up a little highlight for the introduction. Go ahead, Jack.
Wirth much better against lefties this year.
But he's had some big hits against righties also.
No doubt about it. Phil's looking for one here. Two balls, two strikes. Balfour delivers, and the pitch swung on, flared. Shallow center field, going out. Iwamura going out. Bartlett, Iwamura can't handle the catch. In and out of his glove. Here comes Jenkins. He scores. Phillies lead 3-2.
Yeah.
Iwamura couldn't handle it. He got leather on it, but it's in and out of his glove. It'll go as a base hit for Wirth, and the Phillies are in front 3-2 here in the bottom of the sixth.
Wow, goosebumps. And Jason Wirth joins us right now. Jason, John and Ike, man, thanks for a few.
Yeah, that was great. Thanks for that.
Well, I mean, so take us back to that night, game 5, and it was the longest game that any of us have ever had, waiting for you guys to win. What was that like? What was it like after getting that base hit?
No, that was quite a moment. I mean, just the whole night, really, and leading up to it. I laid in bed for like however many days. I was sicker than a dog after that rain delay. So coming out on the field with everybody going just bonkers and the situation. I mean, we got like a 3-inning sprint essentially, and the place was going just absolutely nuts when I came onto the field to run sprints. It was like no other game I've ever played in, and Jenks leads off with that double, and he's all fired up on second, and Jimmy bunts him over. It's like I was up way. I remember being, thinking, oh, okay, I'm in the hole, and then all of a sudden I'm like, I'm in the batter's box. Like it happened really fast, and I'm facing Balfour, a guy that predominantly throws fastballs, and at the top of the zone. So I knew I was going to get a fastball to hit, but I still couldn't really get on top of it, and was able just to doink a ball over the second base instead. And it was badass.
Yeah, the rest is history. Not your hardest hit ball as a Philly, but certainly one of the most memorable. Is that your go-to? Like, what's your go-to Phillies memory, Jay? For you personally?
Personally, I mean, I always say the Fray was like the coolest day of my life, outside of my kids being born and getting married and all that. But, I mean, that seeing the city come out and, like, that whole experience was really cool. On the field, that was probably a good one, but I couldn't pick one, to be honest with you. I know like that whole series was just a blur. I mean, the whole thing, how it happened, and how we got in coming down the stretch, and all the other postseason games we played. I mean, it was just one after the other. We all did our part. It was such a great group of guys and a great team, and no place to do it better than in Philly.
You mentioned, I guess, how everybody was able to come together and sort of do their part, and you certainly played a major role that year. And I don't necessarily want to call you a role player, but you filled a role of doing whatever the team needed. And I'm just wondering, when you were placed into the lineup and you got the other stars in that lineup. What was that like for you from a pressure standpoint to want to go out there and make sure you held up your end of the bargain as a player that Charlie trusted to put in that lineup?
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing for me, right? It was to be one of Charlie's guys. And I was, you know, it's Charlie Manuel Day or whatever, so let's talk about Chuck a little bit. I mean, I came into Philly as one of Gillick's guys. So I was the GM's guy coming in, and, you know, Charlie, I mean, he likes to do things his own way. He doesn't like to rely on anybody, and he's old school, and you gotta earn his respect, right? To become one of his guys, you gotta do something extraordinary for him to put you in there. And I mean, it took me a while to get him to trust me and to play every day. So I had many conversations with him. We went back and forth. We argued. We had our ups and downs. You know, he'd call me in his office and all kinds of stuff. But finally, you know, he gave me the nod. And you know, when you get that opportunity, you don't want to let it go. So it was very important for me to produce. I mean, I wanted to be a guy. I wanted to be a dude. And you know, Chuck played a huge role in that, in allowing me to go out there, and gave me the confidence to believe in my ability and be part of a club that, you know, we all thought had the chance to win the World Series that year. And we went out and did it. But I mean, it was I hit second a lot in that lineup, especially down the stretch, and had some big games, and was kind of an on base guy, you know, as well as a guy that could swing the bat and play good defense. So there was a lot going on that year, and for me personally and for the team.
You mentioned Jason wanting to be one of Charlie's guys, wanting to be one of the dudes, and you had to earn his respect, and talked about you and he having a few conversations where you went back and forth. You voiced your opinion, he voiced his. I'm just wondering how much that sort of had an impact on how you eventually developed into the player that you became, an all-star player in baseball. How much did his impact as a manager have on you?
I mean, I'd say a lot. I was coming off an injury when I came to Philly. I played hurt in 05. I didn't play in 06. I had two wrist surgeries. 07, I really didn't. I didn't play until August when, you know, a couple of guys got hurt. And, you know, I think I hit like 415 or something like that in August of 07, and really opened some eyes. So that was like the first time that, you know, I got a chance to, you know, show them what I could do. But, you know, then they come into 08, they signed Jeff Jenkins, and I were in a platoon in right, and it wasn't until, I don't know, even know what the day is now looking back, but it wasn't until the middle of the season until I started, you know, playing pretty much predominantly every day. So it took some time, and we talked about it. I mean, I wanted to be that guy. I wanted the opportunity, because, you know, at that point in my career, things were, you know, it was kind of at a crossroads where you either become an everyday guy, or you get labeled as a role player or a bench player, like you said, and that's pretty much it. So I mean, I wanted it, and I thought I could do it, and you know, Charlie's, I mean, he can be a hard ass. I mean, he can be hard headed, and he pushed me, you know, harder than anybody's ever pushed me before. And I give him all the credit in the world, because without Charlie Manuel, I don't know if my career would have ended up the same. I mean, I really don't. And he was able to get the most out of me, like all good managers do. I've been coaching here lately, and you know, it's tough. It's hard to get through to kids and get them to produce, but he was able to get it out of me, and I was better for it. Even though at times we butted heads quite a bit, and I didn't know if it was ever going to work out, but it did.
Wow, you know, Jason, and we're talking to Jason Wirth. I think the perception with a lot of people in Philly was that Charlie was easygoing and he wasn't as tough on you guys as you stated right there. So you guys did butt head, and he did with other guys too.
Oh yeah, I mean Charlie could, you know, he could be tough, man. I mean he's a fun loving guy, and he's the best. I mean don't get me wrong, but he knew how to push your buttons and you know, make you tick and get it out of you. He was a really good manager, and I've had some good managers over the course of my career, and you know, Charlie was the one to kind of get me going and turned me into the player that I became and to have the career that I had. So I give him all the credit in the world. He was, he's like an uncle or a father figure to me. So I have nothing but respect for Charlie Manuel.
Mm. Jason, you came back for the 10-year anniversary, and that went great. You came back, it was a love fest, as I think you called it. The crowd went wild, as they should have. Did you get a nudge from Charlie to come back? Because I know ahead of it, a lot of people didn't know if you were coming back, and it was actually something we talked about because we wanted you to come back. Did Charlie have any influence on you coming back for that?
Yeah, actually, he called me. I was doing stuff with my boy on his travel team, and I just retired. So after playing in Philly with the Nats for 7 years and getting booed every time I did anything, I didn't have the best taste in my mouth. Obviously, I love my teammates and all the staff and my time in Philly and the fans and everything. But I wasn't treated very well while I was with Washington, as expected. But I didn't have the best taste in my mouth, and I had some other stuff going. So it wasn't that big of a thing for me to come back, but Charlie did call me and kind of gave me the nudge, he wanted me there and thought it'd be good for me, and just to bury the hatchet, and I'm glad he did, because it was a good experience for me and my family, and good to see all the guys and kind of relive a little bit of what we accomplished there in that time and in that city. And I was back the next year for the 2009 reunion, and now with Bryce being there kind of bygones being bygones, if you will, it was I'm glad that he made the call, and I'm glad I came back.
Well, speaking of Bryce, Jason, him coming here last year, while we all certainly hoped for it and wanted him to come during the offseason, we weren't sure if he would select the Phillies as the place to sort of take the next chapter in his career. I would imagine he called you for advice on what it's like to play here. Did that happen? And if so, what did you kind of let him know about playing here in Philadelphia?
Well, I don't know. I mean, the few conversations we had that winter weren't about Philly. I mean, I think over the course of 7 years or maybe 6 years I had with Bryce in Washington, I mean, we covered all the bases. We talked about Philly. We talked about Charlie. We talked about a lot of the places, early in my career in L.A. I mean, we had a lot of time, spent a lot of time with Bryce, and had a lot of opportunities to talk about a lot of things. But the one thing I told Bryce, when he called me for advice when he was going through his free agency, I told him to, do what's right by you, do what's right by your family, and once you make your decision, don't look back. I didn't push him towards anywhere or anything. I mean, he had all the knowledge. He's a smart kid. He knows what he wants in life, and he had all the knowledge that he needed to make the decision that was right for him and his family. And I think he did that.
Yep, and he handled himself very well, Jason. Everybody was very impressed. Listen, he had a good year too last year. I mean, what do you expect this year from him? Listen, Philly's not an easy place to play, and you know that. And he had a really good good first year, but I think people are expecting a little bit more this year, even though it's a 60-game season.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be interesting, right? So, I think more of the same out of Bryce. He's prepared. He works hard. He takes his job very seriously. He's a pro. He's one of the best players to ever play the game. So I think, through thick and thin and good times and bad times, you're going to get, a player that is, he's going to be a prolific player, and he's going to be in Philly for a long time. So, there's going to be ups and downs. It's Philadelphia, but I think Bryce is, he's young. He's got a long, long time of his prime to go. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be productive and hopefully prosperous for him and the organization. But, you got to play the games. And this year is definitely odd, to say the least. So we'll see. I mean, you get a spring training, and then you sit at home for a while, and you try to get at bats. And I mean, bottom line, it's going to be a 60-game sprint. So everyone's got, been through the same kind of set of circumstances. It's not normal. It's totally abnormal. And I don't have any expectations for anyone this season just because of the situation. So hoping for the best for everybody. I think the biggest thing for all the guys, my concern with everybody is just health.
Yeah.
They haven't been playing. if they do test positive, they're going to be sitting around not doing anything, and then they're going to come back and try to play. So it's going to be interesting. I'm just hoping these guys and nobody gets injured and does something that affects their career too much.
Jason, thanks so much for a few minutes. I want to give you one more Jason Worth memory. I don't know why I think of you in this game, but I think it's because it's the last game of 2007. You guys are walking out to start the game, and it's already 3-0. And the Mets are the game up in New York, and it's already 3-0. And I think by like I don't even know if it's the second inning, it's 7-0. And that place, Jason, was, and I just remember kind of being along the first base line. That I've never heard it as loud at Citizens Bank Park.
Yeah, that was cool. So that game, and then the Game 5 World Series Part 2 were actually really similar. Obviously. Different set of circumstances, but the fact that the Mets were getting beat by the Marlins, and that that game meant so much to the city and to the team, and it was packed house already. It was pretty similar to that Game 5 Part 2, where it was just going. It was just so much energy, and the place was just buzzing and shaking and going ballistic. Before the game even started, those are the two times where I was running sprints on the field before the game, and I felt like my feet weren't even touching the ground. It was electric. I remember both those pretty vividly. Those were cool times for sure.
It was amazing. You and the family are doing good in quarantine and everything else. Everybody's healthy and good.
Yeah, we've been good, but down in Florida, it's a different deal down there. So to say the least,
it is. Jason, thanks, man. Great to talk to you.
All right, guys, take care.
All right, there is Jason Worth. With some good Charlie Manuel talk, I agree. Everybody thinks that that a lot of people think that Charlie was very easy and wasn't hard on his players, and Jason said they bumped heads many times.
Yeah, reminds me of Andy. Andy has a perception of what he's like in a press conference and up there talking to the media, and people would, at least early in his coaching career, didn't think he was capable of getting upset or yelling at anybody. And maybe even some of my teammates, maybe some of us even thought that was the case early on, until he actually had to get after people. So I think people used to be surprised about that type of stuff like that with Andy.
Yeah, Andy wasn't a laid-back guy, right?
Yeah, he was laid-back. But the thing was, when he got upset, it shook the whole room.
Everybody knew it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What was Andy yelling like? I can't imagine.
Oh, stop, man. He yelled about losing games we shouldn't lose. He didn't curse. He didn't do all that stuff.
I just imagine like the mustache moving a lot.
Yeah.
Like the walrus stash.
I think the one time he was most, well, one of the more memorable times he got upset with us is when a lot of us was over at Powerhouse, the concert on a Friday night, and guys didn't show up on time the next morning. We were playing the Giants that Sunday. It was in 2000, and I don't know if it was the first Giants game or the second game. It didn't matter. They beat us three times that year. And so we get ready to play the Giants. We lose. And so that Monday team meeting is when Andy –
So Friday night, a lot of the teams out late. Saturday, did you have a walkthrough on Saturday?
Saturday morning.
And he probably noticed the guys were out late.
Well, he knew because the team security knows everybody went over to Powerhouse. They got us the suite.
Donovan here.
Yeah, so, I mean, it wasn't that. I mean, we're grown. It wasn't that it was the fact that it was players who weren't responsible enough to not get hammered enough to where they weren't on time the next morning. Like, people go out on Friday nights. That's what Friday nights are for.
But you have to be responsible.
Yeah,
and be on
exactly.
Time.
We got work the next morning. You got to be there on time. And there were guys that was not there on time the next morning. You might have had one or two guys who didn't even make it in.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, walkthrough is at 8 a.m. and we're out of there by 10.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, it's not an all-day thing. It's the day before
sure.
a game. You got to travel to New York
that
day.
Then you're going home and packing and
getting
ready
to go. Yeah, and you're getting ready to leave. So some guys didn't even make it in.
Ooh. Yeah. And then you lose on Sunday.
And we lost.
Again to the Giants.
Yeah.
So Andy lit you guys up.
Oh, yeah, that was priceless. That was That was priceless. That's not for the air. Yeah, so you don't have to worry about that. That's not happening.
Jack, any guess on who was late to the air. Late to the walkthrough? Or?
Well, it's 2000. I was going to say Freddie, but he wasn't there at that point.
No, he wasn't there yet. No. Just say I wasn't late.
Was there?
Only, you're only late when the when Michigan State's playing.
That happened my rookie year.
Yes. That wasn't with Andy. That was with Ray. Ray was probably late too. The head coach was probably late.
Did Ray know there was a walkthrough?
No, that was Ray, at the hotel.
No, yeah, Ray was waiting on me when I walked in.
So tell.
And he was like, "Sit your, you know what, right here."
So that was Michigan State and.
That was 19,
Ohio State?
My rookie year, yes. And so Ohio State was number one in the country. And so State went out to Columbus, and they beat them when they were number one in the country. And I'm sitting there watching the game at home. It's a 3:30 start, and the game is probably going to be over with by 6:30, something like that, 7. But sure. It was so good, I didn't want to leave. Now, see, when you're young, you don't think. I should have left at halftime. That way I would have been at the hotel to see the end of the game. No, I couldn't. I didn't leave. I wanted to stay for the whole game and thought that I could make it in time.
And you didn't.
No, I was like 15 minutes late.
No.
Yeah.
And what did Ray Bob have to say?
Yeah, no, I can't say it on the air. I told you, the first thing he was waiting for me at the door.
Come down here and smack you in your mouth, you little
Because, like, the first meeting is special teams meeting. That starts at 7:30.
So you're right away.
So that's my meeting.
Yeah.
That's the meeting I can't be late for. So, yes.
So it's 7:30. You're still on the highway freaking out.
No, I got there about 7:45.
Okay.
Yeah, I was freaking out when I was speeding on the way over there. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
215-592-9494.
I went like Joe DeCamera 2 hours late, you know, but it happens.
Did you blame it on an accident or something? Oh, traffic.
I didn't blame it on anything. I just said, you know, the funny thing is, I think I may have said that. And Ray.
Ray didn't want to hear it?
His answer was. No, that's bull bleep. I know you was at home watching that football game.
Yeah, of course.
You said that's bull bleep. I know you was watching that damn Michigan State game. Because guess what? That's what they were doing.
Yeah.
Prior to the meeting.
At the hotel.
Yeah, everybody's there watching it. And then they're looking for me.
Yeah, and they know exactly where you are. You dummy.
That's what's called being a rookie.
Inexperienced. Yep.
Yep. But don't worry. That was the last time that I was. Yeah, that was the last time, brother. I learned my lesson. That little fine, my little pockets, yeah, that hurt.
215-592-9494. Marks and Reese.
I give him credit, though. He kept me as captain that Sunday.
Was he like?
I was the honorary captain that week.
Ray used to get really mad, right? But it was also kind of funny. Maybe not if you were getting chewed out, but you would.
Yeah, it's not funny when it's at you. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny to watch and listen. when it's pointed at you, though, you're like, man. Because you want to fire back, but you're like.
You can't.
Yeah, it'll
say
be the last time I'll be an Eagle. The moment I say one word.
Smart man.
And we were like 1-6.
Smart
I picked
man.
A bad time to be late.
Marks and Reese.
Oh man,
we appreciate everybody's
Those
patience.
Were days.
We've had a number of guests here in the last hour or so. It is opening day for the Phillies. We're going to reopen the phone lines and restart the conversation. The Phillies are going to make the playoffs if what happens, and we have Phillies opening day trivia for a chance to win a great Phillies opening day prize pack. Get in right now. Great time. 215-592-9494. The Phillies will make the playoffs if what happens. Give us your answer. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.